Well, first of all, good evening. And while Alan's away, Roger's away, and a few others are away, it's good to be with you folks. I've been doing some morning quiet times, and just recently I've been through the book of Nehemiah. And when I was looking through Nehemiah, who was asked to by God to build a wall round Jerusalem, and it was going to take him 52 days, I noticed that there was some great discouragements came his way. And these discouragements came in different forms. So I'm going to just go through a few of them. I won't pick them all out, because there's probably about 15. But I'm just going to pick out a few. All right. But there's one particular one that's really, really, really discouraging and very strong. And you might not think so at first, but as you unpack it, hopefully that comes out. And the reason I want to do that is because we do have an enemy, and when we try and build on planet Earth the work of God, the walls of God, in other words, people, we try and build them up as Christians, and churches to be built like your particular church here, then the devil can greatly be used. And it always struck me that when Jesus turned to his disciples after 3 years and said, "One of you will betray me." You never got the impression that John said, "Told you, Peter, it was him." They were all, "Is it I? Is it me?" You see. And that was one of the subtleties of the attacks on the work of Jesus. So, here's this man, Nehemiah, and the children of Israel have been in captivity. And he now has got permission to assess what the walls of Jerusalem are like. And he asks people what's going on over at Jerusalem. And they come back with a really, really discouraging report. The gates have smashed open, the walls are down, the place is obliterated. And yet it was God who was to put it into Nehemiah's heart to build those walls. Now, when he started, he was working for the king, and he was the king's cupbearer, a very important job, because if you wanted to take the king out, you could poison him, and the cupbearer would be one of the guardians of the king and royalty. So, just a few comments to start with. It says, the words of Nehemiah, so it's chapter 1, verse 1, the sons of Achaliah, it came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Anani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and who had survived the captivity concerning Jerusalem. They said, the survivors who are left from the captivity are in reproach. They're in great distress. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept. Now, when he then gets permission from the king to go, assess the situation and start to build, we get several attacks. Okay, and I just want to work through just one or two of them to start with for you. Okay, make sure we've got the right page. Okay, so if you look at 2 verse 10, it says, so he's now got permission to build, and it says, when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah the Ammonite officials heard of it, they were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. So, when news gets out that somebody's starting to think about building up God's people, then other people get disturbed. Alright? And particularly, Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite. Okay? And then, when we get to verse 19 of chapter 2, it says, verse 9, when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Gershom the Arab, so the Arab heard of this, they laughed us to scorn and despised and said, what is this thing that you're doing? Will you rebel against the king? So now there's a verbal attack as they start to consider building. Alright? And then in 3 verse 1, you get a very interesting person called Eliashib. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren and the priests and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it hung its doors. They built it as far as the Tower of the Hundred and consecrated it as far as the Tower of Ananeel. Now, keep your eye on that man called Eliashib. All right? Then comes another attack as they're building. In 4 verse 1, it says, "So it happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, 'What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day?'" So again, pouring scorn on the work of God. Okay? And then we get verse 7, chapter 4. "It happened when Sanballat and Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem had been restored and the gaps had begun to be closed, that they became very angry." All right? Then you move on into chapter 5, and you get, verse 10, chapter 4. Look at this. "The strength of the labourers is failing. So much rubbish, we're not able to build the wall." So you have these attacks from outside, but then the people who were labouring on the wall, they began to get weakened. They might have been older people, we don't know their ages, but they could have been older people. But just the very work of God and getting stuck into it, Nehemiah spotted that the strength of the workers was failing. And he would probably be thinking, will we do it? And all this will be weighing on Nehemiah. And then what happens, if you get into 5, verse 7, you get the rulers of the people. We'll just read 5, verse 7. It says, 5, verse 7. "After serious thought, I rebuked the nobles and the rulers and said to them, 'Each of you exacting usury from his brother.' So I called a great assembly against them." So when people start to build, and when the people started to come together, there was an issue about money. And the nobles were taking more cash than they should have done to sort out the taxes, etc. But remembering Nehemiah, it said the nobles did not put their shoulder to the work. Alright? Now, if you're in a work of God, and you get those attitude amongst God's people, it's incredibly discouraging. And that's why, in your Christian life, do your best to be an encourager. Mark Twain said, "I can go a month on a compliment." And it's so easy to pull down. It's very tough or very unusual for people to be encouraging. So, Alan, Roger, Stephen, whoever you've got in leadership, in whichever area, try and be an encourager as the walls are being built. Now, the strength begins to fail. There's an issue about money. And then in verse 6, they tried to make us afraid. And what happened was, Tobiah started sending letters to the nobles, and the nobles were sending them back, and they were reporting on what was going on, and they tried to make us afraid. Alright? And then 6 verse 17 and 19, just look at 6 verse 17 and 19. "In those days the nobles of Judah sent me many letters to Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came to them. For many in Judah were pledged to him because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Horah, and his son of," I won't say all the big names, can't do it. Now, I told you to keep your eye on the priest, okay? So, I'm just going to pull it together for you to help you. Look at 13 verse 5. We'll start at verse 4. "Now before this Eliashib, the priest, having authority over the storerooms of the house of our God, was allied with Tobiah, and he had prepared for him a large room where previously they had stored the grain offerings, the frankincense, the articles, the tithes, the grain, the new wine, the oil, which commanded to be given to the Levites and the singers and the gatekeepers and the offerings for the priests. But during all this time I was not in Jerusalem. That man who was a priest accommodated Tobiah in Jerusalem. The very man who was trying to destroy it with his mate Sanballat, who was causing terrible aggro, he gave him a slot. And the people who'd built the wall, who should have been looked after, they had to go back to the field to work. And he brought in Tobias. And one of the reasons he did it, he was a distant relative. He'd married, I think, his granddaughter. So what does this all teach us? When you get a build of God, be very careful, because there will be an enemy's subtle attack. And it can really discourage leadership. And you'll even find one or two key people. Look at this man, Eliab, the priest, having authority over the storehouse, the house of God, was allied with Tobiah. So the guys who should have been fighting for Nehemiah turned against him. And you get that in the Christian life. So how does that apply to me? How does it apply to you? Well, I would always say to you, try and support godly men. Be encouraging to godly people. Our nation needs godly people, whatever state. And the more we can encourage godliness in people and encouragement, the better things are. But the missing gift of the church, to my mind, is discernment and courage. So what did Nehemiah do? Look at verse 6. During this time I was not in Jerusalem. So he had to go back to his work. Okay, and he went back to King Artaxerxes, and he was at Babylon. But he got word about what was happening. And it says in verse 8, and it grieved me bitterly, therefore I threw all the household goods of Tobiah out of the room, and I commanded them to cleanse the rooms, and brought back into the rooms the articles of God with the grain offering and the frankincense. So what did he do? He sorted it all out. And he wasn't a shrinking violet. He was firmly godly and zealous. And folks, sometimes in the Christian life, people have got to grasp massive nettles. And I have come to really respect men of God who are willing to stand up for the truth, and women of God who say it as it is. What I would say is pray and build, but at the same time, be an encourager. You know, watch yourself that your nature doesn't go against the leadership. And I don't mean that wrongly, because let's say the leadership go off and ungodly, we understand that. But when you get godly leadership, it's something to be prized. And Nehemiah said, I wasn't in Jerusalem. In other words, he had to go off the scene. So this sermon really could have been called, What Happens When Godly Leaders Go Off the Scene? Moses goes up a hill or a mountain, and he comes down, and there's a idolatry in the camp. Nehemiah goes back to his work, and key people suddenly turn against it, who should have been building, and now pulling down and given space and given. And we don't want to be in that situation. So let's pray that we build well.